Good evening, everyone. And as the music fades, the podcast begins. So, first of all, a warm welcome to everyone joining the stream. I hope you enjoy these weekly live streams. You know, I guess the point of them is to supplement the recorded stuff that goes out every day, and to probably add a little bit more plurality and diversity, apart from having to put up with yours truly on every podcast. So that's why it's such a pleasure for me to be joined by friends like City Troll, by Jed, by Adrian, and by our friend Ed, who hopefully will be back with us soon. He lost his mother a few weeks ago. So, you know, there are more important things even than podcasts. Now, I'll tell you something before we get into the topics here, guys. As always, there's other things we could have talked about. Yeah, good evening, Chris Davies. Good to see you. Good evening, Max, as well. Good to see you too. I could have talked about the fact that, for example, a legal case has been made in the UK, a legal precedent has been set whereby someone who was laughed at in their place of employment for being bald is going to receive substantial damages. So I would invite everybody on the stream to call me a bald so-and-so. Then please provide your home address and details so I can take you all to the cleaners. So that'd be the first thing to say. Second thing to say is, and we're probably going to get into this indirectly, but did you see that Joe Biden came out in the States and called Donald Trump the great MAGA king, and somehow Joe Biden thought, wow, take that, Trump, I've really got you now. Whereas of course it's been instantly turned into a meme, which is hilarious. Not quite so hilarious, however, is Donald Trump's continued endorsement of Dr. Oz. And he's getting a lot of criticism for that, and rightly so, because Kathy Burnett, in my opinion, is the person who should get the run. But anyway, Chris Davey says, hashtag ultra MAGA. Yeah, we're all ultra MAGA over here. We're darkest of dark MAGA. So you got to brace yourself if you come into our company, because, you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for those of a nervous disposition. Anyway, the topics we've got to talk about this evening are, we're going to chat about NATO pushing into Finland and Sweden, getting them to join the club, pushing right up to those Russian borders. What do we think that's going to do? We're going to talk about the news that in recent days we've seen Bono fly into the war zone that is Ukraine. We had Dr. Jill Biden fly into the war zone that is Ukraine. We had Hollywood actress Angelina Jolie fly into the war zone that is Ukraine. And frankly, I ask you, you know, you're nobody if you haven't flown into the war zone that is Ukraine. So we're going to chat about that. And then just as a final part of the course, the menu here on the live podcast, we're going to chat also about the continued economic demolition of the West. And that's happening in the States, it's happening in the UK, it's happening in the West, more generally, as we teach Putin a lesson. And I don't know if you saw it, guys, but the ruble, which Joe Biden threatened he was going to destroy. I remember he did a press conference where he laughed at the damage he was going to inflict on the ruble. The Russian ruble is now trading at a higher value to the dollar than it was before the sanctions. In fact, the highest value it's had in quite a while. So that one didn't work out too well, did it? But nonetheless, there we have it. So anyway, well, that's enough of me. So can I welcome onto the stream, all the way, first of all, from Pennsylvania, from a podcast station, Pennsylvania, our good friend, City Troll. Good evening, Patty.
Just thank God you can't share that picture. Although now from what you're saying, I could, I don't know if I would have precedence as an American. Can I sue in your courts if somebody insults me? Put that picture up. We'll make a mint.
Yeah. Well, I think we should joint sue everybody.
There you go. I've heard sue them all, and then line the lawyers up. But and line the lawyers up. Good afternoon, evening, morning, whatever part of the globe you're in, to everybody. And hope, Ed, we have our prayers and condolences. God bless you, man. You're in our hearts. And, you know, hello, Jed, and everybody else. I'm sure Adrian's around here somewhere and all the others.
He is, though.
All righty. And Chris and all aboard. All right, everybody.
And then, Jed, a warm welcome to yourself to the stream.
Good evening, David. Good evening, Paddy. Good evening, everybody on Podbean and all the usual crew over on Getter. Thanks for joining us. Really do appreciate it. Some great comments already on Getter. I won't say the suggestion that you are follicly challenged, allegedly, David, because you would be able to sue them. But apparently, Ultra MAGA, Ultra Dark MAGA. So great comments over there on Getter. So thank you, guys, and welcome.
Oh, yeah. We are, Jed, we are the darkest of dark MAGA. We're the people who don't want compromise. We're the people who are only interested in complete and total victory. That's all. And that applies not just in the States, actually. That applies everywhere. We're not one of these sort of limp-wristed, oh, let's meet people midway and come to a happy compromise. No, not interested. I'm not interested in that whatsoever. So, we also, Adrian, by the way, if you want to pop in, just let me know and I'll bring you into the stream. Anyone else would like to come into the stream similarly? Adrian, bang on cue. Adrian, hopefully you'll get that invite and you can join us. I think Adrian's connected. I'll just say hello, first of all. Hi there, Adrian. Can you hear me? Okay.
Good evening, everyone. Hope you're all keeping well.
Yep, good to have you with us, Adrian, on the stream as well tonight. And by the way, guys, those watching this, make sure you hit that heart button, give it an absolutely digital workout there to send us some love, so we know that people enjoy the stream. So if you can do that, that's fantastic. Okay, guys, I think without further ado, people tell me off, you know, they say, oh, you waffle too much, but I don't know. This is a relaxed stream, so I'm not apologizing for...
I would never have that said about you, David. No way. I would never have it said.
Jed, you are that.
I think we just have a good laugh on here, don't we? We talk the talk, and I think we just have a good laugh. We have great crews that follow us on Podbean and Getter, and it's just fantastic. The comments are brilliant.
You're right, Jed. I mean, you know, life's serious enough. And we talk about serious topics here, but I just like the idea of sometimes being able to lighten the mood a little bit. And, let's face it, we've gone through a very tough couple of years with all the COVID scamdemic. And now we've got World War III being lined up. So I think it's healthy to have a laugh. It doesn't mean that we're any less serious. It just means that we are, I think anyway, balanced human beings. But there you go. Anyway, let's move on to the City Troll wants to know, is there syrup and strawberries for those waffles? Waffle, I should point out, is maybe that's a British expression for not getting directly to the point. There's no strawberries for that, unfortunately, on this stream. Unless someone wants to send us some golden beans and then we can afford to buy strawberries, if not syrup. So, right, folks. Okay, here's what I want to talk to you about. First of all, today we have had Finland saying that it is applying to join NATO. And Sweden is expected to follow very, very shortly in the next couple of weeks. And we've had Boris Johnson over in Finland saying, don't worry about it. In the meantime, until you become members of NATO, we will defend you if somebody attacks. And I think somebody, by that he means Putin over in Russia, which borders Finland. So we have... remarkable, really, situation here. And, just to start off with, I mean, my take is this is NATO provoking. This is NATO being aggressive. This is NATO trying to get us closer and closer into what could be World War III, in my view. And it's really hard to understand. I mean, where does if they're saying, oh, but if Finland or Sweden is in NATO, they're going to be safer. But no, because if they're, it's the opposite is true, actually, because if they are in NATO, then given what might happen with NATO and Russia, that could potentially make those company, those countries targets. So I don't understand it. Let's start off at the top. Paddy, let's start with you. I mean, what do you make of this whole business of the Nordics becoming part of the NATO club?
I think it's ridiculous. You know, number one, I think the leaders in Europe are taking advantage of a doddering senile man at this point to try and expand NATO as much as possible and get more, you know, get us more. Because NATO is the United States. I mean, nobody's going to invade Finland. Finland actually has a pretty decent air force. They'll hold up for if they, you know, they can hold out. But what's in Finland? Nobody wants it. And Sweden, Sweden's got all the world's legitimate money and information banks. He's like, nobody's going to, if you touch Sweden, the whole world's going to, Russia doesn't want either of those two. He wants the oil fields and he wants the space in Ukraine. This Ukraine thing is a mess. But the Europeans, you're all taking advantage trying to, you know, because NATO is just a group of, I hate to say it, but it's a group of European countries sucking off the America's wealth and might.
Yeah, but I put it to you, Paddy, just to come back on that. That I agree, by the way. But it, NATO is America. Now, number one, first and foremost, with the UK as its number one bitch, basically, right? So responsibility. Hi, Grantonio, by the way. So responsibility lies with America. It lies with Washington. Lies with the Democrats. So it's I don't think Europe's taking advantage of the US. I think the US is imposing its power through NATO on weakling countries like Finland and to a lesser degree Norway, or sorry, Sweden.
If there's a way for the Democrats to enrich themselves in doing it, I guarantee that that's behind it. I just think this is more of a game right now that the EU is you know, and the core countries. You got the United States really has, and I know I tick people off when I say this. The United States has two countries that basically we care about. That's great, you know, the United Kingdom and Israel. The rest of them, you know, it's like, we'll negotiate you, we'll sell you, we'll do business with you and everything else. But we, you know, we're done shedding blood for everybody. It's enough. It's a hard enough time to keep the nuclear arms out of the hands of maniacs that want to scream Allah. You know, you guys fight your own battles.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, Max makes a very good point on the stream that Finland has a military about 200,000 people, which is about three times the size of the UK military. So actually, NATO is escalating things. And furthermore, Boris Johnson being over there.
They're kicking the bear.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And the only thing about that, Paddy, is they're kicking the bear. And you know, I often think, imagine, Paddy, if you were Russian president now, God forbid, if you're the Muslim, if you were in the Kremlin, what would you do?
Actually, that's a good. All right, here you go. I'll take it this way. If I was Putin right now, I'd want to. Yeah. Okay, they're doing this whole thing with you know, Sweden and Finland. You know, all right, guys, right? I understand. I'm going to back up. I'm going to hang on to these parts of Ukraine. We're going to stop our advances. We're going to start selling you our oil back on the open market, and everything will be peachy fine. And he'll have achieved his goals. See, Putin's got it right now. He's sitting, he's sitting in the catbird seat. He's got all the European nations tied to the flow of energy out of Europe. None's coming from the U.S., which was, you would have had that as an alternative with Trump, but none's coming from the U.S. The Middle East is always a mess, and Putin's already made the deals. So you're all obligated to him. It's just a matter of, okay, what territories you want? He moved on Ukraine. He's not moving on anywhere else, and he'll finagle it so that he gets the parts that he wants. And if you keep provoking...
Yep. Well, actually, Paddy, just Jed, moving on to you in this one. So you know, the British media keep telling us that Putin does want to invade other European countries. But as Paddy says, I see absolutely zero evidence of this. And I consider it to be just more deranged British pro-Ukraine anti-Putin propaganda. How do you see it?
I think you're spot on, David. I think that's exactly what the Paddy was right there. Poking the bear. You know, Finland, you've just mentioned Finland there. And coming here from Status 77, a good follower, said Finland and Sweden are applying to have arms put on the eastern border. That is provoking Putin to do something. They want him. They're begging every single day for him to venture outside of the Ukraine so they can hammer him, because everything else outside the Ukraine is NATO. And they cannot wait for him to strike somewhere outside, and they'll poke him and poke him and poke him until they do. And then America will come along with its very little cousin of 72,000 British troops maximum. That's counting all the pen pushers in the military as well. So, you know, to have the size of the army as was it Mark who said, or Max, who said, you know, we've got 200,000 troops. Yeah, Max. You know, we used to have 120,000 plus troops. We're now at 72,000, David. We haven't got the manpower to wipe our own arse.
So Jed, that, I mean, and this is obviously an area you're very familiar with. So how then can Boris Johnson say to Norway, don't worry about it, even without being a member of NATO, we're going to protect you? I mean, how can he even say that?
Because the man lives in Kluku-land. You know, like I said, we can't wipe our own arse. So how can we defend somebody? We can't defend ourselves. Anything below, I think it was 100,000 troops, you're no longer called an army. You're a defence force, i.e. you've got enough manpower to defend your own land from invasion. So how we can go on the offensive or provide defensive cover for other countries, God only knows, because we can't do it. But what we could do is send troops there, put them across the border, very thinly scattered, and hope Putin bites. Because if Putin bites, then, you know, is it Article 5 or whatever it is, comes into play? Yep. And then the whole of NATO can then take him on. And that's what they want. NATO poking him and goading him into taking action against a NATO country so they can go in.
Yeah.
Now, if they do that, unfortunately, we're going to have not thousands of people die, but hundreds of thousands of people die.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. Adrian, just bringing you into the conversation. So what's your take on this latest development regarding Finland getting into the NATO club?
I think it's NATO behaving a bit like the python, just slowly constricting and surrounding Russia. If you look at the Gulf of Finland around the Baltic Sea, you have Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, who joined NATO roughly 2004, 2005. And now the further expansion now with in that sort of geographical area, they're adding Finland and Sweden into that as well. They want them totally surrounded. You know yourself, you poke a tiger in the eye for so long, it is going to turn around and bite you. And this is what they want. They're wanting Putin to make the first move so they have the justification for their follow-up actions.
Because one of the things Adrian Putin has said is that if Finland and Sweden join NATO, then he will move nuclear weapons up into that part of the world where there's currently a no Russian nuclear, weapons. So, I mean, that would be an equally disturbing development, but predictable, perhaps.
Yeah, as I said, it's like poking the tiger in the eye. You know, you are going to get a response back from it. But I don't know how many people have actually paid attention to Sweden. Sweden's not all blonde, beautiful women and ABBA. Ericsson,
which is a great pity, I have to say. Adrian, my own personal preference, but anyway, carry on.
Ericsson, the telecommunication company, is a very interesting company to look into, and all the things that they have and they do, and also the Wallenberg family from Sweden, especially Jacob Wallenberg, for all their political connections and business connections, what most people would class as deep state these days. So I think there's a lot more to it. There's a lot of things to be protected in Sweden, as is Ukraine.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I mean, the other thing is actually, Adrian, just on this, that did you note that the Norwegian Prime Minister, a lady whose name I did post it out earlier today, and I noticed that anyway, this shiny new female Prime Minister they got, yeah, she's a member of the World Economic Forum. Imagine my surprise, Adrian.
We're finding more and more of these people now are linked to the World Economic Forum. You know, whether it be politicians, reporters, there is a massive spider's web just coming out of that whole organization. And the amount of industries and people that are connected to it now, people are really getting their eyes open. And it's not just politicians and businessmen. You know, we have reporters, TV reporters, like even sports stars, you know, like some Megan Rapinoe from the American US football team, women's team. You know, they are encroaching slowly into all walks of life.
Yeah, it is quite remarkable, Adrian. And you know, some people say, "Oh, the World Economic Forum is just a conspiracy theory," but it's not, because if you go on their website and you look at who their membership is, you will find, as you rightly observe, Adrian, not just politicians. You'll find members of various royal dynasties. You'll find senior business people across the piece. You will find people from the entertainment industry. You know, if you want to take the Bono, indeed. Well, we're going to come to him in a minute, Adrian.
He's a great peacemaker. Remember, he was a big part of the peace process here in Northern Ireland, and there he is out in solidarity in Ukraine playing concerts. And
absolutely.
We'll digress onto that later.
Yeah, we're going to come on to that. But anyway, it's a weird one. I mean, Paddy, I just want to just have one final kind of session on this one. You know, given what we're seeing, and given, I think there's a general consensus that NATO is really pushing at this time. It's going right up, like Adrian says, like a snake encircling Russia. And you know, Paddy, I was going to say you'll remember, but a bit like myself, all Americans will recall what happened in Cuba back in 1963 when the Soviets lent positioned missiles within striking distance of U.S. soil, and it almost took us into World War III. And now NATO is at the same game, but this time in reverse. And it's, I find it very disturbing, Paddy. What's your take?
I find it very disturbing because it actually puts, if you look at the world stage right now, and the person we have to rely on to be the stable thinker out of the whole world situation right now is an ex-KGB, the you know, killer, Vladimir Putin, because Biden's just going to, the United States cannot be, we are not leading right now. We will not be leading for another 2 or 3 years. Sorry. It's just the way it is. The ball and things are running out of control. So you got to see the person who actually has to take a breath and step back and make the, and who's in complete control is Vladimir Putin. And we've put him in that position. And that should scare the shit out of all of us. Excuse my language.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jed.
Yeah, can I just come in? Because we've just had a correction here by one of our good followers, Kim. He said Finland doesn't have 200,000 troops. It has 20,000 troops. I know that's a big difference, but thanks for that, Kim, for correcting that. But, I mean, I've got the message. WEF are like Hitler Youth, and maybe he's got a point.
Great point.
You know, and look, just one more comment from Getter. I'm sorry to, and again, it was I got the message again, and he's saying the EU army being created, a war for population reduction. Germany brought back conscription. I just want to say the conscription has always been in Germany, but what you were allowed to do was either do your 2 year service or do community service. You had a choice. You didn't have to join the military. But what I would tell you about the German military is they turned up in uniform and that was it. They didn't do anything. They didn't go anywhere. It's full of unions, you know, and Health and Safety at Work Act and all that sort of good stuff. They didn't do anything. They turned up, they sat around that coffee, and then they went home.
I mean, it is remarkable. Well, look, guys, we're going to move on a little bit now. I think we've given Finland and Sweden a fair share. We'll have to continue to watch this one, but it is disturbing. But anyway, never mind, because turns out, you know, Ukraine's not a problem, is it? Because as I said at the introduction to this one, we've got all the celebs are going to downtown Kyiv. They're all, yes, Chris Davies, he beat me to it. Kyiv, they're all going there. We've seen Bono and The Edge. I mean, I thought the Ukrainians had suffered enough, but apparently not. No, they're going to have to endure an impromptu concert by these two goons from U2, which happened a couple of days back. And prior to that, and we had Dr. Jill Biden, just showing her the respect to which she's entitled, Dr. Jill Biden. We had, Angelina Jolie. We had Sean Penn, the alleged actor. We had all these. I mean, this has got to be... Adrian, we'll start with you. This has got to be the first war zone ever whereby it's a go-to destination for celebrities, musicians, and the political class. Hello, Leslie Butler, by the way. Good to see you. Right, Adrian, response.
It's mind-boggling. You know, how many of these people turned up in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, all these other places? So why now? Why Ukraine? Because surely a war zone, no matter where it is in the world, is a dangerous place.
Yeah.
The questions have to be asked. Why would the wife of the current US president be allowed to travel to such a dangerous place? Because surely she would need a massive entourage with her of Secret Service men. And we've seen how their cavalcades are 30, 40 cars long. You know, so how can these people even travel freely in and out of the country? Because surely the Russians would be controlling the skies above and, you know, would be determining who gets in or what gets in and out of the country. So I've often wondered, is Zelensky actually in Kyiv? You know, is it, we just seen a subway tunnel with U2 performing in it, but that could have been a subway tunnel anywhere. It's just staggering that these people are just freely traveling in and out. We had Boris walking about in a suit, no protection, no body armor, no nothing. So is it really the war zone that we're being told it is, or are they in a different location?
I see Chris Davies in the stream here says maybe Bono and The Edge are offering the Dublin properties for Ukrainian refugees. Yes, because we did see in the Irish Parliament last week one of the lunatic fringe Marxists that they've got, People Before Profit, suggest that the 1939 War Act be invoked and private property be taken off people, Irish people, so you can put up Ukrainian refugees. Also, just on this one, by the way, as an aside, I saw earlier today Boris Johnson said that he won't deport any Ukrainian refugees to Africa, right? Which is interesting because they reckon that about 20-25% of these Ukrainian refugees coming to the West come from Africa. So there you go. Anyway, one of those strange little observations. Grantonio.
Come on, David. You know that most of the Ukrainians are of African origin. You must know that. Come on. You're a man of the world.
I have to inform everyone that on the podcast stream here, we've got Grantonio saying he used to have a sat-nav program to have the voice of Bono. I had to get rid of it. The streets had no name, and I still haven't found out what I'm looking for. Drum roll, Grantonio, good man.
Oh, that's brilliant! Well done, yeah, Grantonio. Yeah.
But I mean, Adrian, Adrian makes a good point. Jed, he's saying that you know, this is very unusual. All these individuals rocking up, not in like body armor. Boris went with his normal suit and all on. And this is, we're told, you know, the most, you know, a war zone, really, you know, a crucible of mayhem. It's hard to rationalize. I mean, do you think, is Zelensky actually in Kyiv? Is this all a green screen? I mean, what's going on in this place?
Well, first of all, when I last looked at the global map, the capital of Ukraine was Kyiv. I remember how it was spelt. It was Kiev. So I don't know where Kiev is, and maybe this is where he is. He's in Kiev, which is not in Ukraine, because the capital of Ukraine is Kiev, just like the chicken Kiev and chips. Sorry, that's fries for Paddy, not chips, because he's thinking now a bag of crisps. Oh, God, how we span the globe. But I just find it absolutely bizarre how all these people are going to a war zone. Look, you can't have a politician going around the streets of Liverpool without a stab vest on. You can't have Sadiq Khan walking around London without a stab vest on. Yet we can have politicians, world leaders, you know, Bono and his crew and Dr. Jill Biden, all over the, you know, giving out flowers and having concerts. And there's just something, but I just want to mention, because we're on Bono and, you know, Streets with No Names and all that good stuff. I assume everybody's heard today that the Eurovision, Ukraine are the favourites to win. That's surprising, isn't it? Have you heard the Ukrainian song? Or maybe it was Bono and The Edge. Maybe that's the song for this year for Eurovision in a couple of weeks' time. I don't know. But there's something not right about all of it.
There is, Jed and Paddy. We're going to come to you now. But just before that, I mean, Jed's picking up on the point that the ludicrous Eurovision Song Contest takes place, the final takes place at the weekend, Saturday, and Ukraine is a favourite. Now, I really, really hope they win it, because that means that next year's Eurovision Song Contest will be held in Kiev. Sorry, Jed, I get more virtue signaling points than you by calling it Kiev. I take my guidance from Professor General Julia Hartley Brewer of the First Talk Radio, or is it Talk TV, Ukrainian Volunteers.
But, you better call her Madam. She's a general. You better call her Madam.
I could think of other names, but yeah, I'll go with Madam.
Excuse me, Mom.
Mom, yeah, Mom. So, you know, so that's going to be interesting. So they're going to have bringing musicians from all around Europe to downtown Ukraine this time next year. And I would suspect that, you know, by this time next year, Russia and Putin will have successfully annexed probably the southeastern part of Ukraine. And Ukraine's going to look a very different country in 12 months' time. The Ukrainian military is being wiped out on a daily basis. So, Paddy, coming to you, you will have seen Dr. Jill Biden, wife of the much-loved Joe Biden, wandering around on Mother's Day, bringing flowers to Mrs. Zelensky. What did you make of that, Paddy?
She had to go to collect the cash. Hunters in hiding. That's it. You know what do you call it? And the best part was, is she was over, and they made it. You know, they made this big thing. Joe Biden's over in Ukraine. She's braving the war battle. Then they leaked pictures of Joe Biden out on the golf course trying to putt at the same time. So she's over in Kiev, because it's Kiev to me too, Jed. He's over in Maryland putting on the greens.
I mean, but as an American, I mean, seriously, well, how do you feel about that? As you said,
the whole Ukrainian thing is outrageous. Like I said, it was on the stream earlier. They gave them another $40 billion today. We're sitting here, and the people of America, both sides of the aisle, are starting to really get pissed off and flip out because, all right, you're giving them – we can't get baby food right now in this country. There's something really – there's something wrong with the baby food supply line. Everybody's out of baby food. And the price of gasoline has reached $5 a gallon. And you're giving money away to, you know, to the country to where you've been hiding your asses. Get the heck out of here. That doesn't involve us. You're trying to get us into a nuclear war to distract from the crap that's about to hit the fan, and we don't want no part of it.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian, I mean, that Chad makes our – sorry, Paddy makes a lot of good points there as well. The whole – I mean, this $40 billion tranche of U.S. dollars going across to Ukraine, I mean, that's going to keep the war going. So I see no evidence that the US, which is driving the whole thing, and the UK to a lesser degree, they're not interested in peace in Ukraine. They want to see Ukraine basically turned into World War One trenches.
This is the big distraction. They got to keep, this is like, you keep looking, oh, there might be a war, especially if it's like, you know, if Putin doesn't act crazy, oh, they can keep it right teetering on the edge. This is a big distraction. Things are falling apart for the Democrats here in the United States. I mean, you've got with 2,000 mules out, it's like people are laughing at everybody. You got everybody all of a sudden, the 100 laptop is real. All this stuff. Hillary's going to court. Dorm's about to, the judges keep trying to protect the Hillary campaign. But I mean, she's never going to go to jail. So that's wipe that fantasy out of anybody's head. But the Democrat Party right now is in severe collapse, and if they didn't control all three branches of the government right now, there'd be indictments going out left and right. So everybody's worried about this election. This Ukraine, I hate to say it, all these sad people, because it is a sad situation. I feel for them, but it's just a distraction to us. And I agree with you. He's going to annex the southern part of Ukraine because that's what he wanted. That was his whole plan all along. And it's just going to say, oh, okay, and everybody will just pay full price for oil again.
Well, Adrian, I mean, do you agree with that? How do you see this one working itself out in the next number of months?
Oh, God only knows. But what I'm actually confused about is, what is this money going to? What is it for? Because we've seen Biden sign the Lend Lease Act to give them weapons, and they don't have to pay for them. So the money's not for weapons. So what is it actually for? Because if the country's at war, businesses aren't open and things like that. So what are they actually needing all this money for? Because we've had
Hunter Biden.
We've had the UK send them, millions, and other countries are doing the same. So what is this money actually being funneled for? Because, as I said, it's not for weapons, because they're supplying them with weapons. So what is actually going on with this money? Where is it going? What's it being used? It's not buying food and shelter and being used for aid for these people. So what on God's earth is actually going on with all this money? That's the question that I can't sort of get an answer to in my head at the moment.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think probably one thing we can be sure of is, Adrian, 10% of it's probably for the big guy, which would be a very nice payoff. And I agree with Patty. I think Dr. Jill Biden was probably there to make sure that Zelensky understood the terms of the deal. Now, we've got Leslie Butler wanting to call in. Think Leslie, I don't know if you want to try again there. I think I just maybe missed you. So if you're able to hit the button again, just give us just hit the button and I'll invite you into the studio. You can tell us what you think. But yeah, I think in this one here, this is the strangest war ever. But the only thing I would maybe take issue, Patty, you say you think it's a distraction. I don't know. It's a distraction, but the stakes are really high. You know what I mean? As you say, like the Russian bird's being provoked. And if I was Putin, at some point that provocation, it might result in something.
And that's the scary. And that's the scary part. But like you said, the atmosphere of the general public here over here in the United States, it is not a threat. We don't look at it as a threat. It is, sorry, it's a xenophobic side of us. It's like, I'm sorry, this is going on in Europe. It really doesn't affect us. Unless you get, if Vladimir Putin gasses or uses a biological weapon or throws a nuke, everybody will wake up real fast as we all go into extinction. But it's, other than that, nobody's really concentrating on it here except the politicians.
Yesterday in the UK, we had the opening of Parliament and we had the speech, and we're told that basically the cupboard's bare. We have no money, but yet we can afford to send billions to this country. So what is the money for?
Because yachts and DACAs.
Droves, we have.
It's for the big man. Come on, it's for the big man. It's 15% for the big man now, according to Getter. To Kim, and then Hunter Biden's habit has got to be paid for, and all these prostitutes, they've got to be paid for. He needs a new laptop, we know that. he needs to get somebody to sort out his password for him, because he obviously can't set a decent password. So that's where it's gone. But when we were all asking, I'm sorry I've jumped in here, but when everybody was asking, you know, where is Zelensky? I've had suggestions of Poland on Getter. I've had a suggestion it's green screen. CNN have been caught using green screen before. You know, is he actually in Kiev? Or is he in Poland, maybe? But I agree. Where's this money going? What are they buying with this money, other than possibly assets in the country? Or are they saying, for example, we've give you all this money, we've give you all these weapons, when we come to rebuild your country, we want the contracts. We want, you know, the construction contracts. We want the contracts to supply your military with weapons and training and so on and so forth. And I think that's what this is. It's all bribe money to get them to the top of the tree for the future.
Do you think as well, because the Western economies are close to collapsing and going into major recessions, that they're getting as much wealth out of the countries now that they can, so that they can then siphon it off at a later stage while the rest of us are suffering?
That would require intelligent foresight, and I don't think any of our leaders has that.
Listen, I don't. Some of them are stupid, there's no doubt about it. But again, don't forget, our leaders are just puppets and pawns controlled by people above them again.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we can be clear on is Ukraine's been a focus for financial corruption, for financial, funneling away of large amounts of money, not just this year, but over since 2014 for definite. There's lots of money laundering going on over there. There's lots of child laundering going on over there. There's lots of evil going on over there. And it's been going on, as I say, for the last 8 years. And that's reality. By the way, folks, just a quick intermission for me. If you like the show, hit the heart button, engage with us, let us know that you like what we are doing, be it here on Podbean, or I can see over in Getter as well. Make sure you have an engagement with it. Grantonio says it was the Black Plague 2.0. But isn't COVID the Black Plague, Grantonio? Isn't the Rona the most deadliest epidemic known to man? Oh, no, it's not. Turns out that actually Bill Gates says, yeah, it's pretty much flu. Maybe not as bad as the flu, but we had a closed down society. So there you go. Which brings us neatly to the last part of the conversation, which is, this is all linked, by the way, guys. This is all linked in my mind anyway. And that is the controlled economic demolition of the West, which a lot of people would say is all part of the great reset. It's all about destroying our economies. I don't know if any of you guys have monies tied up in crypto. I do. Have done though for a long time, so I'm not too concerned. But the crypto market's just gone down the toilet. It's collapsed. So crypto's collapsed. Stock markets are collapsing, more mainly because big tech companies are collapsing. And we have, as Adrian observes, the other day when Parliament opened, basically the government saying, yeah, we've got no cash. So it's a weird world where we have the ruble now stronger against the dollar than it's ever been. We've got inflation, Patty, over with you in the States, heading up double digits. Well, we know it's more than that, actually. Same in the UK as well. They're trying to pretend it's not double digits, but it is. We've got food supplies being interrupted. We've got factories burning down. We've got a curious one, Patty, in the States. Come to you in this one. You mentioned the baby food thing earlier, which is maybe not something everybody in the UK will be aware of, but just tell us about what's happened with regard to the supply of baby food in the States.
It's been a big thing for the last 2 weeks, is that all the baby food's running out. Now, you know, and nobody's ever stating a reason why. Now, today they floated. It was the first reason I seen anybody float. Apparently, down at the border where all the illegal migrants are crossing, all the larders down there to supply the families as they cross over are overflowing with baby food. Yeah. They'll be getting pounds of pounds. But it's like, I don't know enough about why the issue, whether it's a supply chain issue, whether it's a trucking issue, whether it's an ingredient issue, where is this stuff manufactured? Is it manufactured? You know, there's a lot of other factors, but the thing is, United States does never, this is a first for the United States. We don't run out of staples on our shelves, period. You go to a supermarket here and there is literally, I'm 61 years old and my life, I've never walked into a supermarket and just anything I wanted was right there on the shelf. And it's always been that way until now. And people are starting to get real upset.
Yeah, well, you see, I mean, you talk about the issue with baby food and food supply. But I mean, Adrian, similarly, as part of the controlled economic demolition of the West, we've got this energy bomb that's gone off, you know, where I got a notification last week to say that my gas bill is going up by 37%. And I saw a report, Adrian, today that said, this winter, when we get to winter of 22, a significant number of British people, I think running into a few million, would not be actually in a position to heat their homes. So that's continued, I could put it to you, Adrian, that's serious economic demolition that people are going to really, really feel.
I work for an energy company here in Northern Ireland, and our team are monitoring the price on a daily basis. And I mean, they do not take their eyes off that screen, and it is constantly going up. So I would say that I would be preparing for a lot more than a 30% rise in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah.
We're in the summer now, so gas usage drops because we only really use it for hot water in these kind of times. It's in the wintertime when we need the heat. That's when it's really going to spike. But there's a couple of points. The breast milk thing that Paddy was talking about. We see Bill Gates is talking about artificial breast milk out of a lab.
Yeah.
Now, we know that mothers having to breastfeed can pass on the spike protein to their infants that have been vaccinated. That's an issue. Is that part of the agenda to pass this on? Also, when you talk about the controlled destruction of the economy, do you remember the great, you will own nothing and be happy?
Yeah.
In a way, that's what cryptocurrency is. You don't physically have it. It's just there on a screen for you. It's not like a £50 note or a $100 note you'll have in your hand. So is this all part of their plan? You know, you will own nothing and be happy. So if you put all your hard-earned cash into crypto and the market crashes, you're going to have nothing compared to physical dollar or whatever you may have.
Well, I mean, they've destroyed the fiat currencies in the first instance, Adrian. So that's I get that. But the other thing is, I believe as part of the Great Reset, they want to the cryptos that we have at the moment, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and those kind of cryptocurrencies. I mean, there's an independence to all of those, and I don't think they want us to have financial independence. So if you can take down those cryptocurrencies, Adrian, and replace them with central bank digital currencies completely controlled by the government, then they've got us, haven't they?
That's what I'm sort of trying to get at. You know, you will own nothing and be happy. You will not have your independent Bitcoin. You will need to have the digital pound, the digital dollar, the digital whatever they're planning to bring in, because we've heard Rishi Sunak talking about, and the G7 talking about the central bank digital currency systems. But, you know, if you have 10 Bitcoins and they're worth, say, for example, 100,000, that's only on a computer screen. That is not cold hard cash that you have in your hand. So if they can crash that system, causing you to lose everything, then there is that you will own nothing and be happy.
But Adrian, can I jump in there, David? But Adrian, I agree with your premise, and I don't disagree with it at all. But in theory, we have digital currency now. People pay with their phones, with Apple Pay. I mean, I don't, but they pay with a credit card. You don't tend to have cash in your pocket or great amounts of cash. You might have a £5 here or a £10 there, so you can buy a paper or, you know, quickly buy a coffee. But even then, lots of people will just use, you know, Google Pay or Apple Pay or whatever it's called. I don't do it. So they've already got us. What they actually now need is to tie that digital currency to your social credit, and in an instant you could have, you know, tens of thousands of pounds in the bank, but as soon as somebody goes in and turns, you know, all those numbers to zero, you own nothing other than a small portion of cash you might have in your back pocket for sundries during the day. So they've already got us there. And the amount of times I see people, you know, buying a coffee or buying something even cheaper than a coffee, you know, and we said, you know, we say on here, buy us a coffee, it's a couple of bucks or a couple of pound. But I see people using their mobile phones to buy things less than that.
But that's common.
You know, so they're already into this digital currency and it's scary.
But that's coming straight out of your bank account. You still have that cash available to you.
No, you don't. You only have it available if the bank say you have it. If somebody goes into the bank electronically and deletes your money, there is no record that you ever had money.
But at present, you cannot go into, say, Tesco's or a big supermarket and pay for your shopping in Bitcoin. You can pay via your phone, but that transaction is coming directly out of your bank account, and you still have that physical cash at hand. That part of paying via your phone or whatever is just convenience.
No, I agree. But I agree with that, but I also disagree with you saying you have physical cash. You don't have physical cash until you draw it out as cash. Until then, it's all electronic money.
I just wanted to come in to say, regardless of whether it's hard cash or digital cash, if you want to support the platform here, we are open to you buying us a coffee, as Jed rightly points out. You can get the links to that in the stream and show us a little bit of support, because money does make the world go round. So if anyone's able to do that, and bang on cue, Adrian sends us a gift. Thank you so much, Adrian. Paddy, what's your take on all this digital currency versus real money argument?
Both Adrian and Jed make a good point. It's like all the money is electronic. Whether who controls it or what controls it, is that there is cash on hand. But what happens is once they make everything digital card, then a true black market exists in the world, and in this country, it would lead probably to a civil war. You can't. They've been playing with the money. They're playing with the money games right now. That is the least problem worry. Cryptocurrency. I will remind you, Dave. Shame on you for being invested. Cryptocurrency started as the drug dealers' way of laundering their money. And so,
regardless of how did cash?
How do you know that one, Paddy?
Yeah, how do you know
that? How do you know that one?
I plead the fifth.
It is definitely, I mean, at this point in time, and this is a serious point, across the Western economies at any rate, you know, there is this horrible storm that's brewing, guys, you know, and it is, as Adrian talks about, it's these massive increases in energy, and then the massive increase in food inflation, and then the devaluation of assets such as crypto, and then basically where a lot of people have their monies sort of tied up in stocks, a lot of the stocks have sort of nosedived as well, and it looks like we're just getting warmed up. Because again, Adrian makes a very valid point that, you know, we are in the certainly Northern Hemisphere summer, and so, or beginning of the Northern Hemisphere summer. So in a way, this is the most benign period. It's going to get worse, isn't it? There's no way this is going to get better. And I don't think they want it to get better. Although, Paddy, just to come to you, I also think, and I know this is a recurrent theme, but and it's one of my great obsessions, but the US midterms, I think, is the most most substantial event in 2022. And Democrats want to hold on to power. Can they do that by tanking the economy, Paddy? I'm not sure. I think Paddy's must have.
My mic's stuck. Sorry.
Yeah.
The only way the Democrats can hold on to power is if they do a nationwide massive election steal again. But if they do, if they don't do, if there's not a major election steal in the midterms, which people are holding their breath over, then the Republicans should sweep both houses of Congress and slow all this crap down. But that's all the Republicans will do is slow it down. Do not depend on them to actually fix anything.
Oh, I agree. And actually, next week on my podcast with Alana Mercer that we do, the Hard Truth podcast, we've got a guy coming in to talk to us, guy called Jack Kedgwick, who writes for, I think it's America First. But anyway, he's got some really interesting views on the uselessness of the Republican Party. So that'll be worth listening to. Adrian, sorry, you were trying to get in there. Do you want to just have your say?
Sorry. Do you think that they have seen the resistance to the whole COVID and the vaccine and the mandates and wearing of masks? So now they need something else to get people to fall in line. So what else will we do? We'll make them cold, we'll make them hungry, and then they will beg for whatever.
More like I said, yeah, to a point. But here's the thing: the there's too much wealth in this country to really make people hurt that fast. And the irony is, what they're doing is, like I said, this whole thing with Roe versus Wade. This was all just to rile the vote. They're doing everything they can. This election coming up is you know going to be seismic no matter which way it goes. And you know, and they're like, you know, like I said, and the Democrats' biggest problem is they want to raise the price of gasoline in the United States to $10 a gallon. If they would have done it over a 15-year period, they would have got away with it. Instead, they're trying to do it in a 3-year period, and everybody is dying. And everybody's screaming, this, you know, their mistake is going to cause us pain for 3 years, but it's also going to reverse things, I think, in the long run, because I have faith.
Well, the thing is, Paddy, faith makes a good breakfast but a poor supper, which is a line that I've used for a long time. In other words, hope, it's good to have hope. But I mean, I'm sure we've all seen the 2000 Mules, Denise D'Souza's, documentary outlining exactly how the 2020 election was stolen. And I have to say, it's fascinating and sobering, and it totally made sense to me. This is how they did it. The difficulty is the mules are still out there, Paddy. You know, it wasn't 2,000, it was more like 54,000 mules. Is there any guarantee that can be stopped?
No, that's the whole thing. That's why everybody's holding their breath. We really don't know. Everybody in this country really doesn't know what's going to happen in this election. If it follows the laws of probability, the Democrats will lose everything. If there's a big cheat again, and everybody's really worried that there is going to be, because all these, none of the states that screwed everything up have changed a darn thing. All the tools to steal, to flood the vote again are still there. Now, the thing is, will they implement them? Will they dare? Because that's the whole thing is, how far are they going to push?
Jed, what's your thoughts on, you know, what we're chatting about now? Could the elections be stolen again?
Absolutely. And I think this time round, or should I say last time round, wasn't the first time. As if you watch that documentary, it does indicate that this has been done by the Democrats before. Perhaps not to this scale, but it's easily done. And
ask Nixon.
Kennedy was another. But the point is, it doesn't take that documentary, even if you just go with the 2,000, that documentary shows you do only need 2,000 people going to 20 different boxes every day with a small handful or, you know, 3, 4, 5 ballots. Yeah. And you can swing an election because those numbers soon add up when it's being done every day. So, yes, it will happen again. Will the Republicans do anything about it? Absolutely not. Why? Because vast majority, as we know, and Paddy knows, are rhinos. And I know Trump is doing his best to get people, you know, elected into the states and what have you. I think if the midterms do not go the Republican way, the fix is in, and the fix will be in forever until the Republicans go, well, if they're cheating, we will cheat, and they will cheat. But I just want to add one more thing, David. I know you've just mentioned your upcoming podcast with Alana next week, but there was a brilliant one that came out today at 12 o'clock on the Hard Truth podcast channel and over on the Hard Truth Rumble channel with a brilliant guest that was on last night, David, or the night before. I can't pronounce his name, but it's all about Ukraine and the Azov Battalion, and what a brilliant interview that was.
Yeah, thanks, Jed, for that. And Adrian, just before I come to you, just on a couple of points that's been made there, I just wanted to say that, and I think there's a recognition in this, that I don't think it's just the Democrats that cheated this way. I think the GOP has been cheating this way as well, for what it's worth. And I think that's been happening for a long time. That's one of the reasons why I think they're not too keen to get involved and do what's necessary to clean up where they can clean up. But Paddy, as you rightly point out, it's in some of the states that some of the individual states where this is, we see from 2,000 mules what's happened, they're not going to clean house. They have no desire to clean house. Adrian, what do you think?
I think the current system as it is with the mail-in ballots, etc., and that is not fit for purpose. And this is why Trump was trying to push the voter ID sort of agenda along, because that will help cut it down. I did see back in 2020, the US Postal Service had patented a blockchain voting system for when it came to elections. So that may be another way of looking at it. But again, we have seen ourselves that there's so many of these parties and these members are so corrupt that they will do anything to cling on to power, because they're sitting on a golden goose where they can get overinflated salaries, pensions, expenses, kickbacks, and all that. So they're not going to give that up without a hell of a fight.
Blockchain is racist, don't you know?
What's
blockchain is racist? Voter ID is racist.
Sorry,
I thought you knew that.
Then. I know, call me a racist then, you know, but who cares about the interests of fairness and integrity and honesty? But us racists, what can you do about us?
You see, Adrian, that's one of my problems these days, is that I'm not sure I have any faith whatsoever in the so-called democratic process. I really don't. And maybe that's how far down a rabbit hole I am. But I do think, to Paddy's point here in the comment stream as well, corruption is deep all around. And I said at the beginning of this, I read Trump's endorsement of Dr. Oz in that particular state. And I thought, why are you endorsing him? What is it? Trump's judgment, honestly, and I know Trump fans don't like me saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I'm going to say what I always think is true, but what I believe. For him to reject Kathy Burnett, who seems to me a pretty decent candidate, who the deep state don't want, and to go for Dr. Oz, who is definitely a candidate that the deep state want, Paddy. I mean, okay, maybe he wants to win. But if you're going to win with rhinos, how is that an improvement in what we have, Paddy?
Well, it's not. Oz was a lousy pick. I don't know who influenced them to pick Oz. And, Barnett, I'm going to vote for Barnett. I support Barnett. She's got a couple of questionable things that she has to answer for. She originally supported Black Lives Matter. I want to know what her stand is now on it and everything else. But she's also, I watched her in the debate. I've looked at her, the history of who she was, and she'll be a better candidate than either Oz or McCormick. So I'd rather have her there than the Democrat. And Democrat, even it's going to be close to Pennsylvania, but even in Pennsylvania, Democrat's going to lose no matter who's on the right side of the ticket.
They're going to lose unless those 2,000 mules are still in place.
That's
Paddy,
true. In which that's place, true. And that's what everybody's scared to death about.
Yeah. It's obviously, guys, as we get closer to the midterms, the actual, November, we'll be covering this in so much more detail. And I want to go and look at particular states, Paddy. There's so much that we can cover in this one. But, in the meantime, I still believe that November is the pivotal moment in 2022. And it's going to reveal so much, guys. It's going to reveal, for example, Jed's dog howling in the background.
That's my dog asking for voter ID because vaccine ID because that's not racist. But voter ID is racist. I don't get that.
Jed, since the dead can vote, I don't imagine there's a problem with canines voting either.
And I'm not backing up the wrong tree either.
Okay, on that note, we're going to bring Jed's pun, we're going to bring proceedings to an end. Listen, guys, as always, it's such a real pleasure to spend this time with you on a Thursday night. Thank you so much hang on a second. Let me just check something here. Just before we wrap it up, I just want to check one last thing because I see a missed call and I just want to make sure that I don't want to have missed somebody. We'll see if there's any response to that. So I've got this little screen in front of me which shows me if people have called in, and I just realized I missed somebody who called in. But anyway, no, I don't see a response. So look, thanks again. It's been fun. Thanks for all your comments here on the Podbeans. Thanks also for your comments over on the Getterverse. Appreciate that. And as I say, we look forward to returning with a vengeance this time next week. But that's pretty much it from me and from the team. And we'll catch you guys this time next week. Thanks for being here.